The singular holiness of Catherine Benincasa manifested itself in early childhood. At the age of 6, she was on an errand with her brother Stefano, and they were going by the Church of St. Dominic, and Catherine saw a vision. And in this vision were Saints Peter, Paul, John the Evangelist, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord had a papal crown on his head. He made the sign of the cross, said nothing to Catherine, and then he disappeared. This encounter with Jesus captured Catherine's heart and imagination. At 19, St. Catherine of Siena began an active ministry to the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned of her home city. And then when the Black Death, the Black Plague, swept through Siena in 1374, when she was only 27 years old, and while most of the townspeople left the city, she and her followers, the Mantelletta, stayed to nurse the ill and to bury the dead. She was tireless day and night doing this work. And indeed, she would be able at times to touch people and pray for them, and things that doctors could not do to restore them to health. Some were indeed cured and restored, including the head of the Misericordia Hospital, where she served so tirelessly. Well, the plague abated for a time, and then St. Catherine understood that the Lord was calling her to a new work, a work of writing letters to kings, queens, priests, bishops, and most of all to popes. For you see, at this time in the history of the church, Catherine, by the way, was born in 1347, but since 1309, the papacy had been in Avignon. And now we're in the 1370s, and Catherine has such a strong sense that the Pope, Gregory XI, needs to return to Rome. And so she writes him one letter after another after another. She goes to Avignon to see him. And finally, Pope Gregory XI realizes that, yes, I need to leave Avignon. I need to go to Rome. But you see, part of the concern had been at this time that the papacy had become so French, it had become so influenced by the politics of France, and it had become very easy and corrupt that it was difficult for Gregory to make this choice. But he did. And he arrives in Rome at the end of the year 1376. He's in Rome for 15 months, and then in March of 1378, Gregory VIII dies, to be succeeded by another pope called Urban VI. But the French cardinal said, wait a second, he's Italian. We don't want an Italian pope, and we sure don't want to stick around here in Rome. So they elect another pope. His name is Clement VII. And Clement goes back to Avignon, so you've got a pope in Avignon, you've got a pope in Rome, and Catherine is trying to reconcile them together and saying, no, we can only have one pope. But she dies on the 29th of April in the year 1380, interestingly, at the age of 33, the same age at which our Lord died. And what you need to appreciate about Catherine's life is she lived at a profoundly difficult time in the history of the world. I've said that she was born in the year 1347. When she was 1 year of age, to the time she would have been 4, the bubonic plague killed a third of the population of Europe between the years 1348 and 1350. And the other kinds of things that Catherine had to deal with in terms of the social upheaval within her society makes like what we're going through now a Sunday picnic. That doesn't diminish what we're going through now, but the point I'm making is that she lived at a time that would have been much more challenging than what we are needing to face today. And from one perspective, you could say that her life was an absolute failure. At the time of her death, the Western Schism has begun, which will go all the way till 1409, another 29 years after she dies. But here's the remarkable thing. In 1970, St. Paul VI declared her a doctor of the Church. There are only 35 other people in the history of the Catholic Church who have been declared doctors, and Catherine is one of the four women. Now, why have I begun my homily with this story of St. Catherine? Because I think St. Catherine embodies something that's at the heart of today's gospel reading. That Catherine had the spiritual insight to see that in a world like this, God is still truly at work. In a world like this, well, when the church can seem so worldly, she understood that the church is the mystical bride of Christ. In a world like this, when, well, the popes can seem so, well, worldly, she understood that the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. And it was out of that deep conviction that St. Catherine of Siena lived her 33 years with such purposeful meaning. And I think she would have had a real insight into the parables that we heard today. Because these parables, I know many of you have heard them numerous times, there is more here than meets the ear. I mentioned this last Sunday, that the parables of Jesus all have a twist. They're riddles. And when you understand the riddle, you'll understand the parable. So if you were hearing these parables for the first time as a first century Jew in Palestine, and you heard Jesus talk about the wheat and the tares, about the mustard seed, about the leaven, do you know what your response would have been? You've got to be kidding me, Jesus. The kingdom of heaven's like, what? Let me explain to you what I mean. Remember, Jesus says the kingdom is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. But when it grows, it becomes this bush, this tree. And you think at first, that's beautiful. Until you realize that mustard trees were considered weeds. It's kind of like a carragana. It's not very pretty. And it's invasive. Once it gets started, it's hard to stop. Now, here's the thing that's so interesting. For the Jewish audience who would have known their Old Testament, they think, I remember there's another tree. Oh yeah, Ezekiel spoke about it in the 17th chapter of his prophecy. Listen to what Ezekiel wrote about the kingdom of heaven. I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. I don't know about you, I'll take the noble cedar over a mustard tree any day of the week. But Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like the noble cedar. But he uses the rest of the Ezekiel text to refer to the birds. Why is that? I think it's for this very reason. In a world like this, you can miss the kingdom of heaven. In a world like this, the church does not look like a noble cedar. In a world like this, the church looks more like, well, like a weed, a mustard tree. And yet, that being so, the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. And Catherine understood this. She had a realistic understanding of the church, but she also had the mystical understanding of the church. And we have to always keep the two in tension. Now, what about the yeast mixed with the flour? Well, first of all, let me tell you how much flour 3 measures is. It's 50 pounds worth of flour. 50 pounds. And so Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like taking a little bit of yeast and mixing it in with 50 pounds of flour. Now, here's the thing about leaven, if you're Jewish, it's always representative of evil. So why would Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is like evil? Mixing in with the flour so that the evil permeates the flour. Because this is a representation of the cross. That the most dastardly thing, the most evil thing that ever happened was to kill God. Nothing could be worse than that. That's the worst leaven imaginable. But from the leaven of the cross, it will be mixed into the flower of the world, and it will spread, and it will grow, and grow, and grow. And the worst thing that men could ever do becomes the very means by which God does the best thing that he can ever do, and that is our salvation. St. Catherine understood this. She saw it in her heart and in her bones. And so St. Paul's words from today's reading from Romans would have been one that she knew. The Spirit of God intercedes, groans with groans beyond words. He intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. And in the world that Catherine lived in, she saw evil in a way that, again, you and I cannot imagine. And yet it never deterred her. It sometimes discouraged her. But she never lost sight of our first parable, that in a world like this, there's the wheat and the tares. And here's the thing about tares. Well, the tares are the weeds, but they kind of look like the wheat. It's hard to separate the two. What's the wheat? What's the tares? And why doesn't the farmer take those weeds out of there? Because they have to grow together until the end. The children of the kingdom and the children of the devil. And Catherine understood this as well. And she also understood that people could repent and have a change of heart. But she also understood that ultimately there is a judgment and there is a God who will judge. And everything Catherine did was lived with the focus of heaven always before her. I love that reading we had from Wisdom chapter 12, because these words so articulate the way St. Catherine of Siena lived her life. This would have been her prayer. You, God, are sovereign in strength, but you judge with mildness. And with great forbearance, you govern us, for you have power to act whenever you choose. Through such works, you have taught your people that the righteous must be kind, and you have filled your sons with good hope. I love that. The righteous must be kind and be filled with good hope. Such was the reality of this remarkable saint, whose inspiration and example for us today is one that says that from adolescence through to death, we can listen to Jesus. Remember in the parables, he says this repeatedly, those who have ears, let them hear. Saint Catherine of Siena was a superlative listener. May she inspire us. So even though there are times then we kind of look at our lives and look at the world and look at the church and we say, Jesus, you've got to be kidding me. What kind of world are we living in? May we with St. Catherine be able to say these words, some of her most famous. Be who God meant you to be, said St. Catherine, and you will set the world on fire. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us.